Please.
Okay, as you just heard the message, this meeting is being recorded, as all of our hearings will be. So just be cautious of what you say. If you need to step away, obviously, you know how to do that. Feel free to do it. Do it. Welcome to the 22-23 school year and the first State Executive Committee hearing. It's an honor to have you here. We welcome our two new members, Dr. Edna Kennedy from Burton ISD. She's a superintendent there, and we're so proud of her for taking over for Gary Martell's spot in their conference. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Kennedy, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you previously. You come highly recommended, as does our second new member, Leandro Gonzalez, superintendent at Lenora Grady ISD out in West Texas. So we're thankful for both of you and your willingness to serve on this committee. We have a great committee of people who have been so dedicated through the years. And just a quick update of who the SEC is. Historically, it was the first committee established by the University of Texas back in 1911 to adjudicate issues. And essentially, the State Exec Committee made the rules at that time. So they made the rules and then they ruled on the rules. And it didn't take long for the powers that be to understand that we can't do all this from Austin. It has to be done locally, and it has to be done through the district committees that we put together. And then it was about 1940 when the Legislative Council was established to make the rules, and the State Executive Committee stood down from that part. Up until about the early 1980s, the State Executive Committee was run by professors and deans and attorneys from the University of Texas. And even at that time, the executive director of the UIL and the athletic director served on the committee. They both served as prosecutors and as voting members. It was a weird deal. And we changed all that, thank goodness. And right now, I can say this very faithfully, our operation, the UIL, is run by our schools. The school superintendents make the rules through the legislative council process. All 1,522 of those have a vote by their representatives from each of the four regions of the state and the six conferences. And the rules are adjudicated first at the local ISD and the local high school, and then through the district executive committee process. And then this group, who we call the Supreme Court, considers cases on appeal. And that also includes ejections and other behavior things that we take at first glance. The longest serving member of this committee is our chairman, our current chairman, Mike Motherell, and Paul Galvan is right along behind him. So appreciate the dedication you guys have shown. Mike's been the chair of this committee since 2004. And at this time, I'm going to ask for a nomination for a chair. I highly recommend you stay with the current process, but you can nominate whomever you choose. So the floor is open for nominations.
I'd like to nominate Mike Motherell for a chair of the State Executive Committee.
Second.
We have a second by James Colbert. Are there any other nominations? So we can say that Mike Motherell is named chair by acclamation. How's that?
That sounds great.
And so I will turn this over. Before I turn it over, I do want to say this. You'll see our staff on and off of these. Daryl Beasley is director of policy. He will be coordinating the meetings. And as you already met Caroline Wallace, she's your contact if you need anything. Dr. Harrison is very busy. He's a deputy director of the UIL. He does a lot of work. He'll be on these most of these meetings, but we have things going on that's happening now that will be on and off. But the UIL staff doesn't have a vote. We generally don't have a say, but if asked by the chairperson to make a comment or make a clarification, we'll certainly do that, but we do not get a vote. So just keep that in mind. I'm gonna turn this over to the chairman now. Chairman Mather, congratulations for another year at the helm. Now we want you to select a slate of officers. So we'll just turn it back over to you.
All right, thank you. Look forward to working with you folks. We need to elect a vice chair that currently is filled by Johanna Denson. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
All right.
Next.
So moved for Johanna. Is that correct? That's who you're nominating? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
Second.
All right. Any other nominees? All in favor, please raise your right hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. And Ms. Denson, thank you for your work.
Thank you.
All right. I will clarify one thing. Paul has been serving longer than I have on this committee. I don't know how long you've been on this thing, Paul, but it's been forever, hadn't it?
It's been a while. Long time.
Thank you for your service, all of you. We have a few folks missing today. Dr. Fraley could not call back in. He's got business going on. I don't know who else we've got missing, but Dr. Teal and
Marshall. Marshall Scott.
Yeah, they were unable to be here today, but valuable members and all. We have an agenda before us. We will be abiding by the UIL Constitution and Contest Rules. Need a motion to approve minutes from May 23rd of 22.
Make that motion.
Ms. Denson makes that motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Galvan seconded. All in favor, please raise your right hand. That is unanimous. And let's see, orientation, discussion of SEC procedures. I'm going to turn that over to staff.
Dr. Harrison.
So members, and in particular the new members, I think you'll find the chairman does an excellent job of running these hearings. Today is an exception. Typically, your agenda will be full of cases related to students who have been ruled to have changed schools for athletic reasons. Chair always does a great job, allows the family and school to open up, gives you guys an opportunity to ask questions then, and then always ends with an opportunity for them to close. You are voting your own conscience. You know, you hear the evidence. This is the investigation largely. You will have some, typically you'll have some documentation that's been provided to you that also serves as evidence. And then the testimony serves as evidence. You take the whole of the body of evidence and apply in the legal world what they refer to as a civil standard. So this is not beyond a reasonable doubt. This is just more likely than not. So 50% plus anything is the civil standard that we have on the hearing. So whatever you think outweighs the other, even by a little bit, that's the way you should vote. And we're always here to answer questions, rules, interpretations, talk through processes, and help you make informed decisions. But ultimately, these decisions are yours. We greatly appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedules to help serve the UIL. It's such a critical role, play such a critical role in public education, and we can't do it without you. So thank you very much. If there's any questions about process, I'm happy to answer them. But I think you'll find the chair does a great job of walking you through the process.
Mr. Chair, just to add to that, the constitutions that we are governed by have not returned from the printer yet because, strangely enough, can't find paper. A lot of folks are having issues with publications. That's why Texas Football Magazine, which is the other Bible of the UIL, was late in printing this year. If you haven't seen yours yet, it should be on the shelves very quickly. But that constitution spells out the rules that we're dealing with today. And I appreciate the chairman mentioning that Mr. Galvan's been doing this a long time. He is, and I should have mentioned that earlier. I think over 25 years now, Mr. Galvan has served on this committee. So the issues that you'll hear, just understand this. And I've been saying this to our groups that we've spoken to this summer. A piece of paper does not make a student eligible or ineligible. The facts matter. And that's what you'll be hearing today, hopefully, the facts of the case. The DEC will probably provide something to you first. Generally, you will have something from them because usually cases come on appeal. but the facts matter. It's not about a piece of paper. So the PAPF is just one part of the process. A letter someone writes is just part of a process. So just keep that in mind. All the information that's gleaned here can be considered. And I think that's notable as well. So we always expect our coaches who have checked the box that a student has changed schools for athletic purposes. We don't have a case like that today, but we expect them to be present at the DEC hearing and at the SEC hearing. They're not required to come, but it sure is helpful when they do. And we kind of frown on it when they're not here. So we try to make sure our coaches understand you're expected to be present when you check that box. And when you write a letter saying a student changed schools for athletic purposes, we'll talk about this more as we get closer to a case about changing schools for athletic purposes. I think we have a different agenda today. I'll turn that back over to our chairman and we'll move forward.
Okay. Anybody else that's a veteran on here? And we've got a lot of them. Mr. Colbert, you've been around a long time. Ms. Denson, some of you, Paul, we've already mentioned you. Y'all have anything to add before we move forward?
I would just say that I guess I've been on here for almost 10 years and I've still been waiting for y'all to increase my stipend. I don't see it happening.
I think we're going to double it.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I used to get a free lunch out of this. So.
Add another zero, James.
No, this is easily my favorite committee that I've been a part of, and I absolutely love it. And I really think the committee does an exceptional job advocating for the child. And, you know, sometimes the parents get in the way of their kids' future, and other times coaches do, and sometimes kids do. But, you know, this is where we, I think, hold down the, you know, not many states have a UIL. And I was just talking to a guy from Chicago about one of our cases that we have today. His state doesn't know anything about. When I showed him the rule book, he was like, Texas is ridiculous. And I was like, so I really appreciate being a part of the committee. I appreciate being invited back, and I enjoy all of my colleagues that I work with, and we make an excellent team regardless of the makeup. So thank you, UIL, for that. And Mike, thank you for your leadership.
Anyone else?
I just want to say, just to reiterate what James has said, it's a great committee, and I think we all work for the benefit of students. And as he said, sometimes the parents just get in the way. And I have my dog, so I apologize for they want to talk to. So with that said, I'm proud to serve. And this is, I believe, my 18th year, 17th or 18th. But it's just want to tell the new people that are on the committee that there's the decisions that you make will be decisions sometimes that I know when I first was on the committee, it was stressful. I'd be in my car driving back to, at that time I was in Waco, and my jaws would hurt because I'd just clenched them thinking, did I make the right decision? You will know when you make the right decision because you'll make a decision known from the evidence that's presented and also from your experience in the education and the field that you're in. But there, you make a decision based on what you believe to be right and based on that information. You may not always agree with each other. You know, we may have a split vote, but at the end of the day, you have to vote the way you feel is the correct way based on the information as you have heard. So I will just leave that because I don't think that we're all going to vote the same because we don't. We all vote based on what we believe to be correct from the evidence.
The only thing I would add, Edna and Leandro, this is my second year and they've been nice to me, even though I'm one of the youngest in the committee, but I did quite a long term in the waiver review committee. And so that's where I learned process and so forth. And I can tell you the staff at UIL do an exceptional job preparing us and making certain that we have everything that we need. There's never been a question about what they provide and why they provide what they do. And so I enjoy being on this committee because we're very well prepared and the staff is exceptional. And all the way from Charles and Jamie and everyone, Carolyn, Daryl. But I will say that the chair is very tough on the membership, Edna. And so he will ask you to declare where you stand before we all do. So be ready for that. I'm kidding. He doesn't do that. He won't do that. So, but we're happy you're with us. And thank you for joining us. And Leandro, you as well by phone. So look forward to the meeting and look forward to the school year. We're going to have a great one. So.
Well, I would like to say, as a person that's been on this committee, as mentioned earlier, that serving on this committee has been the highlight of my career as an educator and an administrator. I've had an opportunity to serve on these committees with different people. And some of you are new, some of you that have been here for a while. And I think your friendship becomes evident that you have time that you can visit with each other. And I miss the time that we meet together, because at that time it gave us an opportunity to be in an area where we're not listening to a case or whatever it is, but just to know about each other. Serving as far as administration, I have worked with the people, the executive directors, and I can say this as an old timer, as Mike one time said, this administration and the leadership that Jamie and Charles have has been so much to the children, the educators, administrators in this state, and have shown the leadership in order to make sure that the UIL stays as it is now. Not saying anything against the other executive directors, because they are friends also, but at this particular time, with things have changed over the education process now, these two gentlemen have continue to be on the top and making sure that all of our schools know and follow the rules that we have, and also with our coaches that we have in this state. I can't say enough about Mike. He has been the greatest as far as the leadership in this committee. Sometimes he has to get on to me sometimes, but I think you have to realize that your voice means a lot to these cases. And as Charles and them have said, you know, the facts is what brings it up. And we're not going to be in agreement on every case. A lot of times we are. But I think the leadership that Mike shows as our chairman keeps us on the focus of what our responsibilities are. And that's to make sure that every case that we see is a case that we have from the first. We forget about what happened in the DECs or whatever. You focus on what's been given to you as the information that's provided by us and Caroline. So I just want to say this has been an exceptional part of my life and my career as an educator for 44 years that I've been an educator in retirement. But also, I've been in this thing over 30 plus years as a member of this committee. So it's great to see the new ones that we have, and I know that you're going to be essential to this committee when we make our decisions. So, again, to those two leaders that we have at the UIL, and Mike especially, and Joanna as a close friend and also a fellow athletic director, I want to say it's been a pleasure to serve on this committee and represent this state. Thank you.
Thank all of you. Good words and good reminders. I'll just say this: great job by the staff every time. Caroline just takes great care of us. Daryl does a great job communicating with these folks, getting things prepped. And we've already heard the discussion of the leadership that we have from Charles and Jamie. A reminder to all of us that we're here to maintain a level playing field. And, you know, a lot of times we walk away from here feeling badly about an individual student, recognizing that a decision that we reached was what was best for all students. And it might negatively affect one, but abiding by the rules is what it's all about. And so we're going to continue that. It is going to be a good year, without a doubt. We're going to get many opportunities. And let's just do what we've always done and do the best that we can do and take care of kiddos and take care of what's been built here in this state. All right. Caroline, do you know if the coach is here from Hearing AA?
Yes, sir. He's here. I'll bring him in.
All right. Very good. Okay. Coach Temple, please unmute.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Let me introduce the hearing and then we're going to get you sworn in, okay?
Yes, sir.
Hearing AA Austin Achieve High School, Section 1208I1, ejection from a contest, Jordan Temple. Mr. Beasley?
Coach Jordan Temple was ejected from a boys' varsity basketball game on February 10th, 2022 at Austin Achieve High School. Coach Temple is appealing the ejection.
All right. Coach, I'm going to ask that you raise your right hand. Caroline's going to swear you in, okay?
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Coach, we're going to affirm some information that we received, and then we're going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll get to a decision pretty quickly on this, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's just kind of walk through what happened. If we understand correctly, you received an initial technical in a basketball game, and I guess it was it February? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And you said, if I'm not mistaken, you said you earned that first technical.
I did. I will own that.
And you, was it verbal? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was my first ever technical. And I just think there was a lot of emotion behind it with a certain player. I just thought it was kind of an unsafe play. And then, there was just a lot of emotion behind it when it comes to my player safety. But yeah, after the technical, I understand that why there is a technical system in place, and I definitely reflect it, and that was my warning, and I did not say anything else. So
understood. All right, thank you. Now, how long have you been coaching?
This is my ninth year this year at Austin Achieve. I've been coaching, so 8 years. I was coaching 3 years for girls, and then it's my fifth year as boys coach.
Okay. And do you receive training each year?
For?
UIL training that's required?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you, by the definition of that training and by all the content there, should know the rules, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And you, you were ejected from this contest for standing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told.
Uh-huh. And you made the comment, I believe, that you did not know that there was such thing as a seatbelt rule, that you had to sit.
Yeah, I was trying to make the point that I've never been in that situation. To your point, yes, I should have known that. And there was also the unique situation of our scoreboard just going in and out. So I was up, not standing up to really coach, is more so I was going back and forth to check the time and the score.
So you sent us a video, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Saw you up. Looked like you might be doing a little coaching there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And also at the moment, the scoreboard did go out in the video as well. Uh-huh. So it was frequent.
Okay. Bottom line is that rules and regulations are very simple. Once you receive a technical, you are to be seated and remain seated, period. Now, recognizing that there were some difficulties created by the clock and all, okay, but there's no exceptions to that rule. And I guess I wonder a little bit, personally, and others may not have these same thoughts, but why you're appealing this, because it was legitimate. You were doing something that was against the rules, and you received your second technical for that. Explain that to us.
Well, it's mainly when I read the report, it wasn't factual from the official. That just didn't happen.
What didn't happen? What part?
The defiance. I was not being defiant. It just wasn't communicated. It said that I was told 3 times to sit down, and that just wasn't true. And this is probably a whole quarter, and that maybe even some change after the first technical, where no one mentioned anything to me. But it definitely, this whole situation could have been avoided.
If you'd have stayed in your seat.
If I would have stayed in my seat, and also if it would have just, if I was going to communicate, I would have sat down, no problem.
So you're saying that every time any situation occurs, you should be given a warning. And so officials have the responsibility to make sure that you're abiding by rules and regulations.
No, sir. That's not entirely what I'm saying. It's like I said, it's a very unique situation. I am owning my own mistakes for that. But the whole situation is just not a reflection of me as a coach and as a person.
All right. What other questions do we have for Coach, or any comments to him? Yes, Ms. Denson.
Very quickly, you do have an assistant coach. Is that correct? Did I not see someone?
Yes,
my recommendation was let the assistant deal with the clock. You coach the team. Now, I know there was you made a comment about there was some confusion as to whether or not you knew that you were told to sit down, or the technical was that was warning. Now, what can I say? You got a technical, sit down. But I thought at one point in watching the video that you might have had that a bit of confusion. But then I noticed that maybe it wasn't verbalized, but the official dropped the whistle from his mouth. And as he mouthed the words, I could see it on the video, sit down. And he pointed at least 3 times, sit down. Yeah. So I don't see where there was any confusion. So I just, I don't understand that as far as your comments that you didn't know that you were required to sit down because he told you, comply. Just comply with what the official says. If you have an issue, then have that conversation with them after the fact, or call the timeout. If you have that conversation. But that's all I have to say. You were told to sit down and didn't sit down. And once again, the clock can't be used as I'm standing up to deal with the clock. If you have an assistant, send the assistant over. You just have to manage yourself better. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Denson.
Can I speak to that?
Mr. Colbert.
Yeah, Coach, how long did you say you've been coaching again?
8 years.
And so you've never known of having to sit down after you get a technical foul in 8 years?
I've never been in that situation.
Well, but not you personally, but you didn't know that that was like an unwritten rule, the seatbelt rule, I guess is what the chair called it.
To be honest, basing it on my experience of witnessing other technicals, because I've seen coaches stand after that and didn't think anything of it. Like I said, I mean, I'll take ownership in that. But what I'm arguing is that I would have sat down if it was communicated. To give context, I was standing up after the first technical for about an entire quarter and some change after that. And just nothing was ever said. It didn't seem like a problem. I wasn't saying anything to the officials. I was checking the scoreboard. If I was told to stay down, I would definitely have my assistant do that, no problem. It just didn't occur to me.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Coach, you have anything else you want to say? Oh, sorry, somebody had a question?
Yeah, this is Leandro.
Yes, sir.
Coach, did your school AD or your coordinator or your administration, was there any discussion or any reprimand from their side to you, sir?
In what way? After the fact?
Yes, sir. I mean, did they say anything to you? Did your AD say anything to you about sent down or had to sit down after that first one? Or did your superintendent talk to you about, did they feel like that this was a misapplied or that this was just?
Yeah. They thought it was odd and just kind of not handled in the correct way, I guess, because they were as confused as I was.
Confused, Coach, in what regards? Because once you receive the technical, it's well known that I need to stay in my seat. And for us to be standing, you may not be trying to provoke the situation, but standing calls an official to your attention. You're inviting him, basically, to come over. So that being said, I don't see the why I was what would be confused about, or that you might even be provoking situation by standing up, knowing that we probably should be sent down.
Yeah, like I said, the other two officials never mentioned or said anything about it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say to that other than the game went on as planned and no one said anything. And then kind of out of nowhere, I was pointed to sit down or just pointed down and I was kind of confused and I said, why? And then he threw a technical like that just because I just wanted clarification. I didn't know.
All right. Yes, Mr. Galvan.
Coach, you use the Austin chapter for your games?
Yes, sir.
Do you know if the Austin chapter has meetings or if they invite coaches to attend? Usually a lot of chapters in the state invite their coaches that they work with to their meetings to go over the new rules and so forth that come out every year. Has that ever been given to you as an opportunity from the Austin chapter?
No, sir.
Okay. I noticed that you had indicated you'd contacted the Austin chapter about the officials. I would recommend that you contact the Austin chapter to find out next time they have a meeting to go over the new rules that are coming out that can coaches attend so that you can understand what the rule is. I'm kind of like Mr. Colbert. You've been coaching 8 years, you say, and never any of that time in your statement that you had written here indicated that you didn't know you're supposed to sit down. Well, that rule's been in effect for a long time. You can't say what the other coaches have done if they've been up after they've gotten a technical. When you're talking about you, you should know what the responsibilities are as a coach. You mentioned about your goal or your focus is on your kids. What do you think the focus on your kids are now when they don't see their coach in the game?
Yeah.
So that's something that you need to focus on yourself and not only your coaching responsibilities, but what you can do during the time of a game. To get a technical foul, it was your warning. And if you knew what the rules were, then you wouldn't have been sitting, you wouldn't have been standing up doing anything, really, except during timeout. So, like I said, I'm kind of appalled why you're even appealing this if you knew what the if you know what the rule is, especially your superintendent or your AD. I believe they need to understand what the rule is too, and to compel by it. So I'm just saying you need to probably contact the Austin chapter and just ask as a coach for yourself. When do you have these meetings? When do you have your chapter meetings that go over rules and regulations so you can hear it from them? Therefore, you can apply it during your coaching tenure. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Coach?
You like no, it was – I just want – I understand what you are all saying. I think personally for me, it was just a really hard year for health reasons, and I shouldn't even have been in that position to lose my emotions on the first one. And what the gentleman said, lastly – he's 100% correct. And that's why I felt like a gut punch to my stomach. I'm about that because that's ultimately who I let down was the players. But basically my appeal is just looking back on all the situation, how it occurred, I just can't help but think it should have been avoided if it was communicated to me. But also I understand 100% moving forward about understanding all the rules, no matter what situation you are in or I am in the future, I should understand and know that prior to the game.
All right.
Rather than basing it off of just my experience alone.
All right, Coach. Well, it's time to make a decision to either grant the appeal and overturn the ejection or to deny the appeal. All in favor of granting the appeal and overturning the ejection, please raise your right hand or speak. And all in favor of denying the appeal, same sign. We're denying the appeal. There you go, Mr. Gonzalez.
Yes, sir. Deny.
Okay, thank you. That's unanimous. Coach, hey, you seem like a good human being and you want to take care of business. We wish you nothing but the best. Learn all the rules, take care of them. And we wish you a good future.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be removing Mr. Temple from the feed. And you know, are we ready for the other hearing,
Caroline? Yes, sir, we are. I'll go ahead and bring him in.
Excellent.
Okay, this is who we have for case CC.
All righty, I'm going to ask that you unmute, please, the people who are going to be involved. Mr. Covey, you're still muted.
Yes, sir, there we go.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Boone?
Good morning, how you doing?
I'm fine. And what is your role?
I'm the athletic coordinator, head football coach, Carrollton Newman Smith.
All right. Thank you. We're going to let me introduce the hearing, and then we're going to get y'all sworn in. CC violations of Section 1209F, off-season participation in non-school team sports. Sammy Covey. Mr. Beasley?
The State Executive Committee met on August 4th, 2020, and voted to issue Sammy Covey a public reprimand and a three-year probation for violations of Section 1209F, off-season participation in non-school team sports. Additionally, Sammy Covey must appear before the State Executive Committee before coaching at any UIL member school, and the three-year probation will begin after Mr. Covey appearance before the SEC.
Thank you. Would ask Mr. Covey and Mr. Boone to raise your right hand at this time, and Caroline will swear you in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Let's talk a little bit about our process here. We're going to have, we're going to confirm some of the information that we have. And this is a kind of a rare hearing for us in that you've been out of coaching for a little while, I think, Mr. Covey, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the stipulation was placed on you to come back before us before you got involved in coaching again. And there was a reason for that. And we'll articulate that reason here momentarily. So, but I do want to remind all involved that as we move forward, the three-year probation period is going to begin after the appearance comes today. Okay. So it's not something that happened that began back in 20. Let's talk a little bit about what happened 3 years ago, or two years ago, I guess. You worked out and coached a player in a club setting who was enrolled at that time at the McKinney School Zone. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And let me tell you, one of the reasons that that you've been asked to come back here is because your initial reaction to that was less than honest to the folks that you were dealing with at that time. Have I characterized that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You made the statement initially to your athletic coordinator and to your athletic director at the time that no, you had not worked that individual out. But in reality, when they did a little more digging, they found that, yes, you had, in fact, done so. And you admitted it. You got caught. and you admitted it. So that was seen as an egregious act by this group here. And it was determined then that based on that, you would be on a 3-year probation and you received your public reprimand, which the reprimand has already taken place. But as we stated earlier, you would come back before this group. With that having been said, I'm going to switch to Coach Boone. Coach, tell us, I'm assuming that you are the school that is wanting to, that has hired this gentleman.
Yes, sir.
What will his roles be?
Freshman football and assistant in varsity football, and also teaching health.
All right. And were you aware of this story?
Yes, I was aware of it. Coach Covey had let me know about it prior to him coming on board here.
Okay. All right. So based upon that and what you know of him and what you've learned, then you're excited about him joining your staff.
I've grown to know Coach Covey. He was actually my mentor when I worked at McKinney Board in 2012, my first year in education. He was my appointed mentor, and I learned a great deal from him, coached with him for about 4 years before I moved on to a couple other schools. I know his character. I know that he cares about kids. I know that I need quality guys on my staff. And I know that Coach Covey is what's best for my coaching staff with the mentorship and the kids. And I know mistakes happen, but I know that Coach is going to move on and be better for it.
Okay. So y'all spoken about the issue.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Coach, is it Covey or Covey?
Covey.
I'm sorry. I've been mispronouncing that.
No, you're fine.
Coach, where have you been the last couple of years? You've been teaching?
I've been in sales now.
Okay. Mighty good. And you're ready to get back into the coaching world?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And tell us, committee, what you learned and what that means to you moving forward.
Well, I learned that I had disrespected the career, the coaching world, with my misinterpretation of everything. Well, I wouldn't say misinterpretation, but my downfall of what I did in the few years ago when I was coaching club soccer. And to me, it just, my biggest thing was I made our whole profession look bad for trying to get the one kid in the right place and doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing.
Or not the right thing, in the right place for that kid.
Okay.
Because the kid wasn't aware of any of the rulings behind anything. She just wanted to be with a certain group.
Again, I'm going to ask the question, what have you learned?
To go by the rules, know, which every year we get the rules and guidelines that we have to go by. Just make sure we're sticking to them and doing what's right by the profession and for the kid.
Okay. All right. Yes, Mr. Galvan.
Mr. Covey, are you still involved in club soccer?
No, sir.
Okay, so your duties at Newman Smith is going to be football and not soccer, either boys or girls soccer. You won't have anything to do with that. So,
no, sir, just football.
Okay. Well, you know, I think the reason why, too, Mr. Chairman, is that when we heard this deal, he had resigned, if I'm not mistaken, from McKinney Boyd, and that's the reason why we had him to come back since he was no longer an employee there.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, Coach, you are up on the rules and regulations now, since you've been out of it for a couple of years, so that you won't cause any issues at the new school where you're wanting to be hired. So I would urge you to make sure that you follow Coach Boone's organizational plan, so that won't be have something happening to the program there at Newman. So,
yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Colbert.
Coach, really, I just have some statements to make. I vaguely remember this case back in 2020, and reading the documentation brought me back to it. But I think we had two issues at the time, and that was the mistake that you made and then your reaction to the mistake. And we all know as adults that it's oftentimes the reaction to the misstep that causes the most problems. One of the things that I know I expect, and I'm, you know, I hate to do it, but I'm going to speak for the committee members who I know so well. We expect coaches to teach and model integrity to our young people. And so you have you had an opportunity to demonstrate that. Now you got a second opportunity to get it right. And so, you know, I don't know how this will go, but if you are reinstated, and Coach Boone, I know you'll keep a mindful eye, and I appreciate your comments of the influence that he's had on you and you taking a chance on him, because we give kids second chances all the time. Why don't adults get them too? But at the same time, it's important that they embrace the teachable moment so they can move forward. So, Coach, I would just say to you, regardless of the outcome of this, is that if you do end up coaching again, we expect you to teach and model integrity to our young people. And you do that by demonstrating it. And so with that, that's all I have to say, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Colbert. Anyone else like to speak at this time, Mr. Cavazos?
I just want to weigh in a little bit here to Coach Boone. As a former superintendent, I always got a little concerned when a friendship was established prior to people working together or a mentorship and so forth, especially when there was a situation where there was dishonesty and the unpacking of the case determined that, in fact, Mr. Covey had not been honest when approached and so forth. And so what I'm going to put on the table to Coach Boone is you need to make certain you have a very strong checks and balances, because we want to believe that Mr. Covey's reaction to what happened is an exception to his character and not a pattern. But only time will tell, right? And Mr. Covey has a responsibility to make certain that he doesn't compromise you, Coach Boone, moving forward, because the friendship cannot get in the way of a checks and balances in the system. So,
thank you. Others? All right. Yes, Mr. Denson.
Just very briefly, I won't belabor this, but Coach, you know, if you're given a second chance to coach, I'll just say that I always tell people that once you compromise your integrity, it's very difficult to gain that integrity back, because people identify you with what transpired in soccer. So you will have a challenge. You'll be going uphill for a long time. And hopefully with Coach Boone stepping out there and giving you some leadership and support, you'll be able to regain some of that integrity, but it will be a long journey. And I'm hope you're able to make that journey, but when you compromise yourself, it's going to be a while before people can look at you and not say, oh, you're the guy that was at McKinney. So just know that. So you'll have some challenges.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else? Coach Covey, what would you finally say to us today?
I want to thank all of you for hearing me out again. Again, I apologize for disgracing the profession, and I look forward to mentoring kids and coaches as we move forward.
All right. Thank you. Our role here today, we obviously – the requirement was made of Coach to come back before us for the reasons already stated. And we have opportunity to do one of many different things. We could deny him the right to coach if that's what we chose to do. We could, he's already received a reprimand. Okay. And we're sitting here already with a required 3-year probation for him. Personally, I think that's probably an appropriate consequence for him at this time. He's been given a new opportunity here, and nothing would please this group more than to see you go out and to prove that that was just an unusual situation for you and is not really truly part of who you are. Any other conversation from the group on consequences? Yes, Mr. Colbert.
Mr. Chair, I think the 3-year probation is appropriate. It was a decision that I felt like was appropriate at the time. And now that he's got a second chance to revive his career, I don't think there's any need to do any additional consequences to that.
All right. So you put that in the form of motion?
I put that in the form of a motion.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I will second that.
We got a second from Ms. Denson. Any comment or question? All in favor, please raise your right hand and speak, Mr. Gonzalez.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So it's a unanimous decision, Coach. Hate that you had to come back, but glad we got the opportunity to visit with you and Coach Boone. And listen, you go out and you do good things. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any new business at this time?
Mr. Chair, not at this time.
All right. And no announcements?
No, sir. I think everyone's ready to roll. Schools will be starting here in a couple of weeks. Football, volleyball have already started. Marching band was the first to start. Cross country, team tennis, they're all playing. So it's a busy time. Just continue to consider what's going on out there with the weather, because it's important that we enforce the recommendations that are provided us through our medical advisory committee. Make sure your coaches are fully aware of what's going on. And if you have friends and neighbors, make sure that they are aware. It's really up to our parents to make sure the students are hydrated before they get to practice, before yesterday. That should have been going on. So I know our coaches and trainers have a lot of pressure on them to deliver, but look, they have the most precious resource Texas has, the children of this state, and we have to take care of them. And that's our role. Thank you today for what you've done, what you continue to do. We'll have more meetings like this. Now, I want to say this, Mr. Colbert, thank you for calling out the fact that coaches are responsible for teaching character and being models of character. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all about here at the UIL. We want to create the next great citizens of the state of Texas. And it starts with following the rules, whether you get ejected from a game or you've been suspended because of some violation. To see a coach be able to come back and say he will do better, I'm glad to hear that. So thank you for your work today.
One last point of clarity. I don't think it was mentioned, especially to you new ones. You won't serve on every committee. We split that up. So you'll get plenty of calls. I don't think you'll feel like you're neglected, but we don't bring everybody every time. And just so you'll know that that's the case. We actually have a case this afternoon. I don't even know who's on it, but we'll get that taken care of. Listen, appreciate each of you. Staff, thank you so much for all that you do, and good start to our year. With that having been said, we are now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you.
Thank you. Thank you.